Well, I hope you enjoyed that story. Greg will be selling copies of the graph after church, so you can get one for your own spiritual enlightenment. But I wanted to share a couple other stories. This last week, I sent out an email that many of you probably got asking for stories about ways that people listened to or heard God this summer. Because as you may or may not know, our series this summer has been Listening to God. And we've been looking at the life of David and looking at his life and ways that we could learn from him how to listen to God and respond when we hear. I think we saw lots of examples of that. I find it even somewhat interesting, and we didn't actually plan this, that Greg's whole testimony is about hearing. And really, that's what we have been talking about this whole summer, is listening and addressing the issues that we face, the fact that many of us feel like we don't hear God that often, that we don't know when we hear from God, whether it's God or something we ate for lunch, whether we know whether we can have confidence and act on what God has said. And we need to grow and want to grow, and we want to believe that God speaks and that we can hear him. And so a number of you wrote in and told some great stories. One person shared with me that they felt like when they were younger, they totally believed God would speak. And then as the busyness of life and a number of children got into the equation, they just sort of lost that. And this summer had inspired and encouraged them to believe that God speaks again. I thought that was great. One person even shared, and I don't know if Greg even knows this, but shared with me that they'd actually heard from God that Greg would be totally healed. Now, interestingly enough, they didn't want to share it with him, right? They weren't sure. Now, you can appreciate that, can't you? Right? You might hear, hey, God's, I'm going to heal that guy completely. What do you have to know or what do you have to believe to go up and tell the person who's in the midst of day three in total deafness, you're going to be totally healed? That takes and requires something that we want to cultivate. We want to cultivate that ability to listen and to share with one another things we're hearing from God, because if you imagine that you were completely deaf in an ear, how much would you like to hear from someone with confidence and that was actually spoken to by God that you were going to be completely healed? I'd like to know that. That would be nice. I could see that removing some anxiety. It would probably even be a challenge to believe it. But it would be great to know that that was happening. And I think that's who we want to become. And that's how we want to grow. One of the great stories that someone shared with me was that they came to church one day. And as many of you know, at the end of the service, we pray for people. And we pray for anything. And they had actually reviewed their prayer ministry handbook and the model of prayer we teach, or this five-step model where you interview people and you ask questions, and they went through it and they reviewed it and they were ready to go when they got to church. It's like, I want to pray for somebody. And it happened to be the day that I stood up and shared, I think there's somebody here with a heart condition. And they were ready to pray, and they stood up and they realized no one kind of went down for that or came up when I invited them to come forward for prayer. And immediately they heard God say to them, raise the name of their friend, Vic. Said, Vic, you know. And Vic wasn't at church. Vic was a friend that this person had worked with for 30 years. They were family friends and lived in their neighborhood or around them. And so they said, you know what? I'm going to go visit Vic today, and I'm going to ask him if I can pray for him. Because Vic had just recently gotten a diagnosis of a heart murmur, of an irregular rhythm in his heart. And so this person went to the house, said, hey, Vic, can I pray for you for that? Person was cool, said, okay, let's do it. Prayed for it. And then there's that weird thing, right, at the end where it's like, now what, right? I mean, how do you know if your heart murmur, you know, has been fixed, right? You know, go out and run 30 miles, and if you're still alive, you're healed, right? So they don't know. And so Vic has an appointment in a week, and he goes to the doctor. It's gone. It's completely gone. And it hasn't come back. Now, what's really cool about this story, I think, is that what the backdrop to this story is that this person who got this word, and let me clarify something, the reason that I'm not doing names is not because some people wanted it to be anonymous and some people didn't care, but the reason that I'm not telling you who it is because I don't want you as you hear it to think, oh, that's this person, if you know them, or that's just them, or this or that. I am convinced that this could be true of any one of us, of any of us in this room, that not only could it be that God wants it to be, our experience as we participate in this church. And so what was going on for this guy was that actually he was studying the book of Jonah. And if you know anything about that, that's a story from the sacred text, you know, from Judaism and Christianity called the Old Testament. And it's this story of a guy who disagreed with God, ended up in the belly of a whale at the bottom of the ocean, came back up, decided to agree with God, and good things happened. Okay, that's a very brief summary, all right? But if you the three things that he had learned from this is that often we run from God. The first thing is God wants something from us and we run. The second thing he learned was God will go to great lengths to get your attention. The third thing he learned is that we are to celebrate the good things that God does. So when he heard about Vic's sort of miraculous in his mind, healing of his heart, they decided to have a vacation as two families celebrating that. And as a matter of fact, they're not here today because they're in Yosemite having a gathering, going away together as a family to celebrate the fact that Vic's heart rhythm malfunction is gone. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? Okay, you have permission. That's a great reason to miss church anytime. Oh yeah, you can clap too. Go ahead. I think if you don't come to church because you're out celebrating with someone that you prayed for, that's cool. Anytime. No problem. Right? That's a great reason. One of the things that stirred for me as I was thinking about this is the whole issue of thankfulness. And it struck me that we talked about this and a few weeks ago. I actually prayed for us and we talked about growing in sort of thankfulness. And I really appreciated this story because it strikes me that we're often sort of, not only do we struggle in being thankful because we're often on to the next challenge, but we're also not thankful in some ways for the ways that things don't happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a way that, I remember this, and I had this image as I was thinking about this of my dad when I was a little kid. My dad was driving home from work, and as he's driving home from work, at some point he's driving, and all of a sudden he sees this blur in his rearview mirror. It's like, right behind him. 2 seconds later, he hears the crash, right? And a car has gone by behind him at like 70 miles an hour, and has crashed through this wall, totaled the car, the wall, huge thing, right? And he tells the story, and of course, what's our reaction in the family? Dad, what if you'd been like 20 feet earlier and a car had hit you? You'd be toast. It'd be over. Makes me wonder how many times in a given day, in a given week, God's mercy, God's goodness is around us. There are things traveling by us at 70 miles an hour, but we just never see them. Do you ever think about that? I mean, it's so tempting to think about, man, this situation in my life stinks. And it does stink probably, right? It's not good. But sometimes if we sit down and think about it, we imagine it could be terribly worse. I mean, I've thought a lot about that this summer because we've had a tough summer as a church. We had Greg's hearing issue. We had another member of our church who had basically sort of a mini stroke, had a clot in an artery. And we had a member of our own staff team get thrown from a horse and break her back. I mean, I was just meeting with Greg this last week, who's married to Elizabeth, who fell off the horse, and I realized it could have been a lot worse. She could have been paralyzed. She could have died. That would have changed everything, not only for Greg, for his family, but for our church. It would have affected all of us because we're a community and we're connected, and it would have been devastating and grief and sadness. And by the grace of God, it didn't happen. I am grateful to God for that. I am grateful to God for that. You know what? I wonder about that. The ways that things could have been worse. We need to turn it around. And so maybe one of the things we need to do to end this summer is in some grouping, maybe like as a family or maybe as a small group or maybe as a cluster of friends, we need to have a party or throw a celebration out of the thankfulness for God for what he's done or maybe what he's protected us from. Maybe we need to have a party because we haven't lost our job. You know? Maybe we need to have a party because, yeah, at some point, I think we should just have a massive, massive party at the Gibbons house. Because Elizabeth Gibbons is alive. I think there are people in our church and that are still healing. We've had a number of people lose parents this summer. There's grief and there's things, but God is at work in that and God is doing things. And we need to celebrate and be thankful and get encouragement from God for what he is doing, even though it is still painful and it is not done. The other story that someone shared with me that I wanted to share with you this morning was a great story. Another story actually of healing, although we can hear God for other things. It doesn't just have to be for this. But just after the summer series started, someone shared with me they began to pray with their children at night. And they were praying because they thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool, because we're doing this as a church, let's pray together, and I'll try to work with my kids to listen to hear God's voice. And the kids were totally into it, like, okay, let's listen together, right? And so they prayed, and then almost immediately, they had this image. And it was this image of blue, brilliant fireworks. Like, he had this picture of fireworks going off in the sky. And then one of his kids asked, what do you think it means, Daddy? Right? And I'm glad, because in that moment, maybe the temptation to explain it, right? Because either you want to move on and get the kids to bed, just being honest, right, as a parent. Or, you know, if you're in your best place, he goes, well, I don't know, let's ask God. So he asks God, and God sort of lays out the picture, and it says, and immediately God speaks to him and says, you know what that picture is? You know what that firework is? God says to him, there's this woman at work who you don't even know, you haven't even met, but you've heard about her. She's been really sick. She's been so sick that on two occasions she's been taken from work by ambulance, and she's considering resigning from her job, and I want you to pray for her. Boom. You know, that's not what he was looking for when he prayed with his kids, right? I'm praying with my kids. It's like, thank you, God, for a good day. Let's go to sleep and not get up 8 times and ask for water. Okay, right? That's what I'm looking for. He gets this amazing picture, and he knows that God's engaging him, and his kids are there witnessing it, right, and watching it. And now they're going to hold him accountable, right? You know, because kids will do that. Did you go pray for her? Did you go pray for her? Did you go pray for her? Right? And so, doing what we all do, because, you know, you never sort of want to act the first time. He goes and asks a friend, hey, I got this picture. Do you think I should do this? Now, I think that's a good thing to do, because we test it out, make sure what we're doing isn't insane. I also think there's a little part of us that sort of hopes when we ask, they'll go, no, I think it would be prudent and wise for you not to do that at this time, you know, and you're relieved because it's risky. Remember, he had never met this woman. He didn't even know who she was. She was in the hospital like an hour away, and he was just going to go cold call, right? Walk in the room and ask to pray for her. And he did it. And he went and he prayed and he said, hey, I'd like to pray for you. And he prayed, and then he told her some about his experience and that God's love for her, God's desire that she not be alone, and that he be with her in this experience. And she was like, wow, this is kind of new. I have no spiritual experience. I have no friends who are spiritual. This is completely new to me. And then he went home. Hasn't seen her since, but he knows that from that day on, she did not suffer that condition again and has not missed any work and is still at the job. That's awesome. That is the power and the presence of God at work in tangible ways in people's lives. And here's the killer thing. He doesn't even know, and he hasn't talked to her. My prayer for him, and who knows, maybe it's the next step, is to go and ask her, so how did that prayer time figure into this for you? Because while that healing is excellent, and we don't take anything away from that, I know what I would want for her is I want her to taste more of what God is like. That's not it. God's not sitting there in heaven like, hey, I healed you. What more do you want? You know, what, you want a happy life? Ha, 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 you know, that's what people think, right? People are tempted to think, I just dodged a bullet. I just sort of escaped by the skin of my teeth. When the reality is God wants so much more for us. God wants us to experience a joy and a depth and a meaning to life. Way more than just being rescued. As important as rescue is, because let's face it, there is nothing like desperation to get you on your knees, to get you thinking about God. I know I experienced that powerfully this last week. I got to go and visit the jail ministry with some of the guys in our church. It was awesome. And I'll tell you, if you want to see people who are eager to pray and want more of God, I encourage you, volunteer and go to the jail ministry. You know, if you see a temptation for people to be blasé and maybe feel like life's sort of boring or things are okay but they're not great, that is not true in jail. They're fervent. They're desperate. When you have things taken away from you and you have that freedom that we so easily take for granted and all of a sudden you're sitting in a place where you're completely dependent on everything in your life, their openness to God was amazing. And not only that, you guys think, you know, sometimes we have babies cry in this place, right? I don't know. You don't have to raise your hand, but you know, sometimes that's annoying, right? You know, it's like, hey, I'm sitting here worshiping. The baby cries. You're like, hey, you're blowing my groove here. You know, I'm really kicking it with God. And the baby's like taking it away. Man, go to jail. Go to jail and try to worship. I mean, people wander in and out. People are watching football. People are like making noodles and mixing it all up. I mean, it was incredible. And the amazing thing about it was I was able to connect with God in the midst of it because God was there. Do you know what I mean? I didn't need total silence. I didn't need perfection. I just needed God. And he was there. And you can worship in those environments. And you listen. And anyway, I could go on. It was fabulous. I don't even know where I am in my notes anymore. Thank you very much. I guess the thing I want to say, and this is primarily, I've been thinking a lot about this, but you know, for the youth, because I'm sure most of you know this, but some of you have probably heard the song by Katy Perry, You're a Firework. Okay, you'll know this song, probably come across it. You can see it if you're like, what's that? You can go on a thing called YouTube and type in Katy Perry Firework and watch it. And what's really fascinating about it to me is it captures something that I think was powerful as I read this testimony by this friend in our church, that he saw fireworks. Do you see what I think the firework that was happening? The firework was definitely some of what was happening in this woman's life, that God was intervening and healing her. But do you see the other firework that was happening was the firework of transformation in his life? His life and his confidence and his hope in God was being reignited. Why? Not because he worked it up in himself, not because he convinced himself he was valuable, but because God kind of initiated with him through this picture with his children, and he acted on it, and he got to see something way beyond he could ever imagine. That's what God wants to do for us. That's why we want to be able to listen. Because when we listen, God is initiating with us. He's inviting us into something. He wants to tell us he loves us. He wants to let us know that we have purpose and meaning. But I guarantee you at some point he's going to ask you and invite you into something that will probably seem somewhat odd and potentially ridiculous to you. But when you do it, what will happen is a firework will go off in you. A firework, an absolute dazzling display. If you can imagine what this friend experienced as he prayed for that person, even not knowing if she was healed, the fact that God showed up and was in that. What I hear from the guys when they go to the jail ministry, they come out of that thing, and as we talked afterwards, they were exploding. They were like human fireworks because they were alive in the presence of God. That's what Jesus wants for us. That's the life we're being invited into. Well, I have a couple things I want to share, and then we're going to close. In a couple weeks, we're going to start our new fall series, and it's called Called Out. And the reason we're calling it Called Out is because Called Out is the Greek word for church in the New Testament, or ecclesia. And ecclesia means to be called out. And so we're going to have a series on the things that we as a church are called out to be, who we are called out to be as individuals and who we are called out to be as a church. And it's my hope that actually what God is doing for us in that is he is calling us to a life to experience that firework experience of God's presence and work in our lives. There are a couple things I've heard this summer, and I want to share briefly with you. One of the things is that we are called out, and we'll talk a lot about that this fall, but we are called to this place and this time. I've had this deep sense that we are called to the Silicon Valley. We are called to this area and this time, and God has been preparing us as a church for that. That means he's preparing us for all the people in the Silicon Valley, the high tech and the low tech, right? The rich and the poor, all the different classes, all the ethnicities, the people who live and are involved in this community. God is somehow calling us as a church to this place and to some of the unique demands of that. I believe that God has given us a great gift. I believe that the legacy of this church that continues to live on is that we believe in the presence and the experience of God now, right in this room. Not something you go outside and have a couple days later, but you have now and all the days that you listen and respond to God. And so I want to be a church that where we are experiencing that, but we are inviting people into that experience as well. How's he going to do that? I think he's going to do that by transformation in us and the sharing of that transformation with others. I don't have the whole picture to this, and I think anybody who says they do have the whole picture about anything is deceived. I do have a sense that the main way God wants to reveal himself in our time and in this place is through our own transformation. Through us talking about and demonstrating our own transformation in God. We do not have all the answers. There are things that are mysterious to us. There are things that are unresolved. There are things that we have clarity about. But the one thing that we all share in common is we all have an experience of something. And in the spiritual realm, we all have some kind of experience of God. Some of us have the experience of just coming here today seeking. But after today, even if this was your first time ever in a spiritual place, you now have an experience that you can talk about. And those of you that have been coming for weeks, days, years, you have experiences. And as we're continually around God, we have an experience of the presence and the power of God, and we can share that with other people. I mean, think about what these guys did. One thing we can all do, and we don't have to have the answers or theological complexity, to ask someone if we could pray for them. And imagine if part of the transformation came that in the different contexts that we are each in, work, school, play, neighborhoods, whatever, we began to pray for people. I'm kind of getting excited about this because in a couple weeks, one of my girls just started school. And we got invited. I can't believe this. Palo Alto is kind of intense. And at this school, they already started they have a camp out. I'm like, good heavens. I'm barely aware of how to get my kid to school. And you want to have a camp out? What are you doing? And my first reaction was, I don't have time for that. I don't want to do that. You know, it's like, I don't have time for that. I got to run a church. You know, it's that beautiful, like, I don't have time to be a loving person, right? Because I got to help other people be loving. So get off my back, right? And then I thought to myself, no, this is it. This is what church is. I am giving a natural context to be with my child and with other people, all some on a spiritual journey, some not, and I can go into that and I could share about my experience of transformation in my life and why it's happened because of God. Now I'm fired up about the camp out. Now I'm fired up. Because I want to get into an honest dialogue. I want to engage people about things that matter. The things that have mattered to me and my life that has changed. How about you? See, what thirdly and lastly this makes so critical is we all, for this to work, we're all going to have to experience transformation. Whether we are in elementary school, junior high school, or adults. Right? It only works if transformation is happening. But here's the beauty of that. Transformation is not fundamentally up to us. It is not today like, okay, if you want to be a member of this church and you want to have good standing and you want to have a good life, go out and get transformed and then come back on Sunday and then execute your transformation. No, do you understand? God is the one who's bringing the transformation. The process, though, is God is going to be transforming us the way a doctor transforms a patient by giving them a prescription. God is going to be speaking to us, and the question for us is, will we respond? And out of that response will come transformation that will last. This fall, we're going to talk about that and seek to have this church and our place become a place of our transformation that we can share that with the people around us in whatever context we find ourselves. I hope that the stories this morning inspire you. I hope that they maybe even give you ideas for things that you could do and that they lead us. And they equip us, and they move us, and they energize us to seek that kind of transformation for ourselves and for our church, that we could see more and more and hear more and more stories like we heard this morning. Would you stand? I want to pray for us this morning because I believe, and I take it really seriously that everyone here is on a spiritual journey, and I think it's no secret, or actually it's not coincidence that the youth are here in the room this morning. And I want to say something specifically to you guys.
You guys have a ministry. You guys have a life with God right now. You don't have to wait until you're an adult. You are in connection with kids. I wonder what it would have been like for me as a seventh grader to interact with somebody who'd been transformed by God, who loved God, and could actually share that and initiate that with me. How might my life have been different? Any of you ever wonder that? I mean, I started following Jesus in college. I yearn and wonder what it would have been like to be alive and following Jesus as a younger person. Don't get me wrong, I'm okay. I'm not like living in regret. But I would love to know what that's like. I want to commission and I want to pray for the youth here this morning that you're sharing, you're being able to talk about and pray for the people on your teams, in your classes, all your friends, what God has done for you. And the same for those of us in the workplace and anywhere else. If that's something you want, I just encourage you to open your hands more as a sign of openness to God, to say, yes, I want more, and I'd like to pray for us, and then we're going to worship. Jesus, I want you to come now. We just say to you that the kind of meaning, the kind of transformation, the kind of hope that we long for in our lives, we cannot well up for ourselves. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much we work out, no how many books we read, it doesn't last. It seems to fade. And what we need is we need you to pour into us. We need something. We need you. Come, Jesus. We invite you. We welcome you to transform us. We invite you to open the doors that we could share with our friends how great you are. Not necessarily all the things we know about you, but the things we have received from your hands. And Jesus, if we find ourselves lacking in that, come and transform us and do a work now. Fill our hearts that we would have a story and stories to tell that would cause people to scratch their heads and say, I don't know what you're talking about, but I want to experience that for myself. Come, Lord Jesus, make that true about us as individuals and as a church. We pray this in your name. Amen.